a program where we chat about what's cooking in Central Oregon. Every Saturday morning this time, we invite you to call 388-1110 and bring your questions and comments about all things food to the table. And here's your host, Julia Gray, Central Oregon's Queen of the Kitchen, the Duchess of Delicious, the Princess of Pastry, and Lady Diner herself, here's Julia!
Well, good morning. Welcome to Cooking with Julia. I'm Julia Gray, and we're having a wonderful weekend. Actually, our weather is supposed to be just fabulous all weekend in the 80s. As a matter of fact, right now, I believe we're in the mid-60s already. So great holiday weekend. If you're out there, please be safe all weekend. It is a party weekend. If you're going to imbibe, have a little libation, make sure that you either don't drive, call a taxi, or if somebody else can drive you, have that designated driver, or stay at home. If you're planning on doing the fireworks thing, make sure you have a bucket of water nearby so that you can douse every single firework. Even though it seems cold, stick it in the water and let it soak for a while before you throw it in the trash, because I want to see everybody with all their fingers and hair and skin and no broken bones and all that stuff. So I do hope it's a safe weekend. Announcement today, Women Tasting Wine is July 18th. It's going to feature Terra Blanca Winery and Estate Vineyards. Terra Blanca is located in the Red Mountain in the Yakima Valley in Washington State's Red Mountain Wine Appellation. Did I say that right?
Yep.
Near Keona and Hedges Winery.
My
guest is Tim Garling again. No, it's deja vu all over again. Tim Garling from Jackalope Grill. And Tim, of course, at the Jackalope, that's the platform for women tasting wine every month. So, and we're going to talk about Tim's accomplishment here in just a minute. I have to finish out my women tasting wine. The Estate Winery is known for full-bodied reds, crisp whites, and a unique selection of dessert wines. The owner winemaker, Keith Pilgrim, will be presenting the wines. And for more information, you can contact Diane Senko, womentastingwine.com. And as always, I have a link at kbnd.com for that. You could also go to the Jackalope Grill website, and he has a link to it as well. My other announcement, real quick, for some summer reading, I want to recommend a book that's out now called As Always, Julia, and not me, but Julia Child, the matriarch of cuisine here in America. And what it is, it's a collection of letters between herself and the gal, I can't remember her first name, but her last name is DeVito. Letters they wrote between each other while she was formulating the book, Mastering the Art of French Cooking. So again, it's called As Always, Julia, and it's a riot to read because Julia Child was always a riot. All right. My guest, as I said, Tim Garling has owned Jackalope Grill here in Bend. And by the way, 388-1110 is the number to call if you have a question. But he can add a new title to his chef. You can add, you know, once you get your doctorate, you can be called doctor. But you now can be called Iron Chef.
Yep, we did it.
So congratulations, Tim and Riley, who was on the show last week. They entered the Bite of Ben's Iron Chef competition and won in fine fashion, I might add.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it was a lot of fun, but, you know, paying attention for that long really isn't natural to me.
Tim's a little social butterfly. He likes to go out and about and talk to people in the restaurant and just kind of, I think I'll try this for a bit. But you really had to concentrate. I'm sure Riley kept you on task a little bit.
Yeah, well, and it worked both ways. Riley is he's pretty darn good. He stays focused, but sometimes his focus isn't exactly where you want it to be.
Okay, so how intense was this competition?
Oh, you know, there's some of Ben's best restaurants were up against us, and we were, you know, the first day we were a little disorganized. You know, you never know, you know, how do I get all my equipment up to the stage? Is like an issue. You know, you're here, you're driving around downtown Bend and jump out of the car finally and hunt down the stage. And then they had a real, you know, good access, as it turned out, down that back one
right,
of the alleys.
Right, you just have
there.
To find it.
Yeah, it's not obvious.
Yeah.
And so, you know, once we were there and got everything set up and, you know, we had some of the toughest competition, Soupçon, you know, really good food produced on that. That was what the round with the scallops, the sea scallops.
Oh, that was your first round.
Yeah. And then by the second day, though, we started getting in the groove, sort of understanding. One thing I did really helped was to bring our own timer with us the second day so that we didn't have to rely on the judges saying, you know, 10 minutes left.
Oh, by the way.
Yeah, by the way, it's all over. But that really helped. So, you know, we could keep really on task and know, you know, how we were doing with regard to finishing our dishes in expeditiously and get them plated in time.
So, so for your final dish that you made, what was the protein that they surprised you with?
The final one was they gave us a nice fillet of albacore tuna. I like albacore, you know, but it isn't an oily fish, and it cooks quite rapidly and doesn't like to sit around after it's been cooked.
It's one of those you gotta heat and eat.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So how did you serve it?
Oh, we did you know, I kind of fall back on sort of French, you know, Provençal cooking. And so we boiled some red potatoes and crushed them and then tossed them in pesto and then put the cut some nice medallions out of the fillet, and I like to squeeze lime juice on them and a little bit of salt, and then put that in a pan. What I like to do too is use two pans, one with has quite a bit of oil in it, so you get a good, you know, you got to get the heat into the center of the fish.
Right.
You don't want it too much though. So I take it out of that, and then I had a dry pan that was very hot, and I used that to put the crust on top of the fish.
Right.
And then I put that down on top of those mashed potatoes, or the crushed potatoes. We didn't mash them, with the tossed in, the pesto. And then on top of that, then I made a nice little, beurre blanc sauce, which is, you know, white butter, but I did a bunch of, it had a bunch of orange juice, lime juice, and lemon juice.
So a little citrusy.
And a bunch of the pulp in it too. I cut the supremes out of the fruit and then squeezed the rest of the juice into the sauce and put that on top, and then garnished it with segments of lime and orange that had been cured in honey and habanero.
Ooh.
And then a little bit of finely shredded mint over the top of that.
Is everybody drooling like I am now? Oh my gosh. Well, wow, that sounds great. And that did the trick.
Yeah, it was well received.
Yeah, apparently. So congratulations,
Iron Chef.
And does this mean you're going to go on to Portland?
Yeah, we're looking at trying to get some information now out of the competition to go over to Portland in August. And it should be fun.
And wow, the crowd there too.
Well, you know, we've talked to some friends that have businesses over there in food, and they say there's no reason that we can't win.
Yeah. So. Well, there's no reason you can't win just because you're from Bend, and I know how great the food is at Jackalope Grill. No reason whatsoever. 541-388-1110 is the number to call. Tim gave me a suggestion the other day. He said, you know, and we did this once before. We did a salt show once before, but it's always good. You know, we're going to revisit salts again today. He's brought in a number of salts that we're going to talk about and test in different ways. But there still is, you know, the different kind of these fancy schmancy salts that you brought. They really are coming into, they've been popular for a while, but it's always good. I mean, I think people would be surprised. What am I trying to say, Julia? People would be surprised at the effect that salt can have on a dish, a finishing salt.
Yeah, it's a, you know, some people are, they've been told by their cardiologist that, you know, to be afraid of salt. And there's a certain amount of truth to that. You know, these are not things that you really, if you have certain health problems, you probably want to avoid these things. But, you know, salt is fairly benign. And these different salts really display a lot of different characters. You know, they're different textures. different. You know, the crystals are different. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Some are kind of moist flakes, and some are really big crystals, and mm-hmm. some are black, some are red, some are gray.
Yeah,
it's a whole bunch. Okay. And so they look great on the plate, and they add a burst of generally these. They are quite mild compared to, like, say, your regular old granulated
table salt, which is, to me, very harsh taste.
Yeah, it's very dense. Yeah. And so a little pinch goes a long way of a dense product. But these are flaky, and there's a lot of air between the crystals. So you can just sprinkle a few crystals and use it as you would a spice or an herb or, you know, a fresh product.
All right. When we come back, we're going to jump into this salt factory that he's brought. And he actually brought some cool things to taste the salt with, and we'll talk about that in just a bit. 541-388-1110 if you have a question for Tim Garling from Jackalope Grill. And we'll be right back.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's...
And welcome back to Cooking with Julia. I'm Julia Gray. We've got 65 degrees out there right now, and we're going to get up to the low 80s. Yeah, it's going to be nice and warm. My guest today is Tim Garling from Jackalope Grill, and it's deja vu all over again. He filled in for somebody last Saturday, so we got double-barreled here, Tim. I always love having Tim on, so not a problem. But we're talking about finishing salts today. And why don't you tell me, how many salts did you bring in?
Well, about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. But I have more at home.
But wait, there's more. And do you use all of these at the restaurant?
Yeah, for different purposes. You know, when you're finishing a dish, we use them mostly on our wine dinners. Mm-hmm. And where you're looking for that really unusual and visually appealing finish to the dish. And something that'll give a flavor that people don't quite expect. Or that, like these little... the crystalline salt that has the lava in it, the lava clay from Cyprus. And those crystals give it a really unusual texture. And a lot of people don't know what doesn't look like salt. You put that
on
a plate, and then all of a sudden, wow, that's pretty interesting.
It's called Cyprus black lava. Can get these at Ginger's Kitchenware?
I believe so.
Okay. Sounds good. So why don't you explain what you did bring here and
salt, sprinkle a little salt on like your chocolate chip cookies. I think like chocolate and salt is a really unexpected but quite wonderful combination. But what I did today, I brought a nice fresh vine-ripe tomato, and I brought a petite tender that we serve at the restaurant. So I seared this off last night to rare and then just let it sit in the cooler overnight and brought it in, let it come up to room temperature. And I've sliced that very thinly, but it has no seasoning on it yet.
No seasoning. So we're going to be testing these salts with nice little nibbles of beef. Looking forward to that.
So the different salts, I got the smoked salt. They actually, to smoke it. Uh-huh. And celery, gray sea salt. That's all harvested in France. And then we've got some Hawaiian red sea salt that contains, it's red because of there's a lot of iron in specific areas. And it's actually added to the salt to, it's not, it isn't an accident anymore.
Okay.
They find this. And then I've got some really nice fleur de sel is when they evaporate the water for salt, at the very top of that there's a little skim film that forms, and they skim that off, and that's where you get the fleur de sel, literally a salt flour.
Wow.
And it's soft and just a very mild but very, you know, it's a great salt. It's quite expensive too. It's like, I don't know.
It is.
Yeah, 15, like, 20 bucks a pound wholesale.
Yeah, yeah. And it is, yeah. If you buy it in a specialty store, you'll get sometimes it's $40 for a container.
Yeah, yeah. And then I brought a little Australian flake salt.
Okay.
That's the Murray River Delta in Australia.
So these all have different flavors, too.
They all have different flavors, different looks, different characteristics that you can use to your advantage in creating plates.
Okay, so how are we going to do this, Tim?
Well, I don't know. Why, do you want to just work this way?
Sure.
take a maybe one of I think the smoked sea salt will work well with.
So try first the smoked sea salt. Here, throw some. So I just sprinkle the sea salt on the beef. Wait, is this?
Yeah, just take it a pinch.
Okay, so we're. This might. I hope that everybody can understand how lovely this really is. Mm. Of course, the beef helps. That is different.
Yeah, that little smoky flavor is very attractive in that.
Mm. Really good.
And you get that. It's not super intensely salty, though, either.
Mm-mm. It just gives just the right amount of smoky flavor. So that's really good.
Do you want to try a slice of tomato with
that?
Sure,
sure. With the smoked salt?
Yeah.
Okay.
See how that works.
All right. We're going in for the smoked salt, folks. And it's kind of a grayish color, and it does smell like, do you know what kind of smoke they use in this?
I looked it up online, and some places I know use old wine barrels. Mm. So it would be ash or hickory, oak.
Mm. It is good. Oh, that's really good. So you can make a little tomato salad
mm-hmm.
and throw this on there.
I would think that this, why don't we try a tomato with some of this cypress black salt? Okay. Where you get a little. It's a bigger crystal, and I think it's going to be pretty crunchy.
Yeah, these crystals are—they're gorgeous. They're big flakes. So what's the difference between? Is there a difference between flake salt and sea salt, or is it just the way they just call it flake salt?
Well, flake salt is—you know—certain sea salts end up being flaky. It's just the shape of the crystals, and it depends on the rate of evaporation. And additional things that elements that are in compounds that are in the seawater will help it form different shapes of crystals.
This is really good. So here we've tried the smoked sea salt, and I actually have some smoked sea salt at home. It's alderwood smoke, so it's very strong. And we do have a caller on the line. Hi there, welcome to Cooking with Julia.
Good morning, you guys.
Hi, Diane.
How are you doing?
Well, I'm eating, and it's great.
You're Megan. I am so jealous.
Wow. I'm so lucky.
That's you are.
Perk of having you this program.
We're all blessed to live here in this beautiful place. But a couple of things. I have a, and I just forget to use them because I don't have a huge kitchen, and so I got to, you know, I forget to use these finishing salts, but I have a white flake sea salt that, boy, it disappears. You got to put it on and then immediately serve it because it just goes, disappears. But I wanted to ask Tim about the potency. Like a smoked sea salt, I have a Chardonnay oak smoked sea salt. Does the potency go away if it's...
It'll lose the smoke flavor over time, but it's pretty slow. You know, if you just keep it in something that's sealed in a cool place out of the daylight, it'll last for years.
Well, it seemed like that should be the case, and somebody told me, no, you know, it really goes, you know, you really got to use it quick.
Yeah, well, that's the case with a lot of herbs and spices, too. You know, don't buy too much, and it's mostly you just... Eyes get bigger than your stomach. You know, you can't. You've got to. It's always better fresh. Everything is.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate it.
And Diane, solving your wanting to keep the look of the sea salt on the plate, you could always. I know it will disappear into whatever it is the meat, but sprinkle some around the outside too, so they can see what it is.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. You did it for me.
Julie. Okay. Thanks, Diane. Have a great fourth.
You too.
All right. Bye. Bye-bye. All right. So there we go. And already we've got to stop and take a break. I know. We're like, what? This is going too fast. We do have to take a break to hear some news. And I'm going to give away to caller number 8. $25 gift certificate to Ginger's Kitchenware. So maybe you can find some of the specialty salts there. Ginger's Kitchenware is now at the Old Mill District in the Old Allison. So caller number 8 to 388-1110, and the gift certificate is yours.
Welcome back to Cooking with Julia, the most delicious hour of your week. And here's your host, Julia Gray, Central Oregon's Queen of the Kitchen, the Duchess of Delicious, the Princess of Pastry. Here's Julia!
And welcome back to Cooking with Julia. I'm Julia Gray. Got to congratulate Lorraine Yankee. She's going to get this $25 Ginger's Kitchenware certificate and head on over there and maybe find some of these delicious salts that my guest, Tim Garling from Jackalope Grill, has brought in today. I want to thank everybody for calling and trying. Try again next week. That's all I can say. Just keep trying. Someday you will be a winner, I promise. We are talking salts today. He's brought in some what he calls what you call finishing salts, which because of their size of the flakes and you know it's best on top. But I mean, if you got bags of money, you could cook with them, right?
Yeah, it's, you know, some of this stuff is not, you know, like regular old sea salt is not expensive.
Yeah,
and but you know, there's that issue with iodine, you know, that does not supply a necessary, you know. Nutrient says on the side of the box.
Yeah,
but I, you know, for most people, it's not an issue.
No, I think they're kind of backing away from that a little bit now. I think we get enough iodine in other sources because a lot of people are eating, you know, more fresh vegetables and fruits and things like that. That I don't know what else has iodine. I guess spinach has iodine in it, maybe. I don't know. He's like, I don't know. I'm just a chef. I just cook with it.
Iodine. It's not one of my, you know, I wouldn't add iodine to. I remember years ago when we were in, I did some climbing in the Himalayas, mountaineering, and you'd see these beautiful mountain streams, but they were all contaminated. And we always used iodine. You'd put tincture of iodine in your drinking water. And you'd be looking out at this nice, beautiful, you know, stream that was flowing, rushing over the rocks and looked so refreshing. And then you'd take out of your water bottle, a warm water that tastes like iodine.
It's like, ugh. But, Tim has, just a bunch of these stories. And if you head over to Jackalope Grill, you have a very good chance that he's going to come out and talk to you and tell you a story if you have a question. But, you could also call here, 541-388-1110 if you have a question about finishing salts or anything else, actually, except for iodine. We can ask Tim. So we tried the smoked sea salt. We tried this, what is this called again? It's called?
A black salt from Cyprus.
Black salt from Cyprus, which is really cool, and it's cool to look at, too. And selgree, which is gray salt, which you said is basically a more oceany salt.
Yeah, it's just evaporated ocean water, and it's completely organic. And the reason it's a little gray means gray, is because of all the other elements that are normally in seawater.
Mm. So, and that was really good. We're trying him on this beef that he made, lucky me, and tomatoes, lucky me again. Hawaiian red sea salt. He's brought some of this, and it's not bright red, but it's kind of an orangey red color, kind of like a pink grapefruit color looking. And it's kind of big flakes, and it has a real crunch to it.
Yeah, it's a salt like that on the edge of your plate. You know, if you're eating, say, you know, a piece of beef or this weekend, if you take something like that and just touch it against, you know, the piece of meat against a few of these crystals, you know, it'll stick to it, and then you get this little burst of crunchy saltiness.
Yeah,
it's usually quite mild. It isn't nearly as salty as you would think.
Right. This is, I want to emphasize that this is not super salty stuff. So you're not going to be reaching for glasses of water.
Yeah.
Because it's just enough to really just enhance the flavor of whatever it is you're eating. Are these salts, would you not recommend one of these salts for some, you know, it's like the smoked sea salt. You might not want to put that on fruit.
Yeah, that would be a little rough.
if you're different, maybe, but mostly these go well with vegetables and meats, proteins, things like that, fish.
Right, just something to give an unusual. You know, you can display if you've smoked some meat and then you know, have put it, you know, like on the grill, you know, put some chips on there or something. You know, this salt would complement any type of meat that's been lightly smoked.
Yeah. You know, the big thing this weekend is going to be barbecues and lots of barbecue sauce. So maybe finishing off your ribs with a little sprinkle of the salt on top might.
Yeah, it would be very good.
Nice. Now, you brought in this Australian.
Yeah, this Australian flake salt.
Flake salt, because it's not from the ocean.
Yeah, this is right from the delta, the Murray River in Australia. And it's a kind of a crunchy salt. It's really just once you taste it, you'll see that for some reason, the shape of the crystals, you get a nice little crunch and a little zip of very mild saltiness.
It is very different. It's kind of a very light pink color. And from the Murray River, which, is that one of their larger rivers or?
I'm not aware of, you know, I don't know that much of the geography of Australia.
But
super good, though.
It is really good. It's very, very good. I went online to try to find places. I mean, Ginger's Kitchenware probably has a lot, but there's hundreds of salts out there.
Oh, yeah.
And I found this place called The Meadow online, www.themeadow.com. And it's gourmet salt, and it comes in blocks. You can buy salt in blocks too.
Yeah,
and then you just grate it yourself, or
yeah, you could. You know, a salt grinder. It looks like a pepper grinder. Mm. You know, you just grind your own. There's also a place called the Salt Works, which is we get some of the real esoteric stuff from.
That's
them.
Online.
Yeah, saltworks.us, I believe.
So it might be fun to experiment with some of these if you want to, you know, order some online or go, like I said, to Ginger's Kitchenware or even Newport Market probably has some too. Some of the more specialty stores. And even the Safeway or Albertsons might carry a couple different ones too. But just, you know, try it on different things and have some fun with it.
Yeah, it's just one thing that can add a different dimension to your cooking. You know, a couple crystals of salt on a green salad, you know, just supplies a little. People are always amused by, you know, if they have something unexpected and tasty in a dish, and it's a little crystal of salt hiding in the salad greens. It just gives you a nice little burst of flavor.
And I just tasted some beef with the fleur de sel, and oh, that was good. I love fleur de sel. Just put it on watermelon.
Yeah, watermelon and a little black pepper on that too, a little blue cheese or feta. And
now, last year, in another show, you made a tomato and watermelon salad for me that I still talk about to people.
Yeah, we should do that again. I'll make some salad. I said, you know, I'm one of those people who have a perfect face for radio, and so I can. We'll just make some salads here, and you get the sound effects. You know?
Yeah, really, chop, chop. But the salts I want to encourage everybody to really branch out a little bit and try the salts. If you're worried about the sodium level, it's really, you know, you don't want to take a big spoonful of it in your mouth, but.
Yeah, it's all designed to bring the flavors forward and to explore the different possibilities and dimensions of creating food, and using salts is one of those things that'll expand your repertoire.
Yeah, and this is so good. Great. Oh, I'm just thanks for bringing all this in. But I want to transition a little bit because salt is also now very much used in caramels. Salt top, when people make caramel, they put salt on it. And that combination, that salt and sweet, is one of my favorites of all time.
Yeah, salt and chocolate, too. Is
salt and chocolate.
Like put a little salt on your, some of these crunchy little sea salts.
The flakes.
On your chocolate chip cookies.
Yeah. Another thing is, we're going to have to take a break in a second, but July is National Ice Cream Month, and salt on top of your ice cream.
I don't know about that.
I would do it. Just like a plain vanilla or a chocolate.
Yeah, it could work.
And So when we come back, we're going to continue to talk about salts and, of course, answer any questions that you might have. But I'm going to give you some fun facts about ice cream since this is National Ice Cream Month and everybody loves ice cream.
That's right.
So, and Tim's going to tell us how he makes his own ice cream. We're listening to Cooking with Julia here on News Talk 1110 KBND. Hi. We got cool and hot. Hi, welcome back to Cooking with Julia. Our last little segment here, and I was talking to Tim. We talked about salts, and he brought in some what we call finishing salts here because they have the bigger flakes and such. But you were saying that you make your own seasoned salts too.
Yeah, I make a few. One of my favorites is I just call it green salt. And it's a whole bunch of parsley, like a third of a cup of parsley and a couple tablespoons of kosher salt. And then I crush up a few bay leaves, some thyme, and crushed black peppercorns. And I put it in my – it used to be what do you call those little mills, like a coffee grinder?
Oh, yeah.
And but now it's got so much, such an herbaceous flavor that I wouldn't want to drink coffee that had been ground in that one.
But you can pretty much just make your own using kosher salt. And
yeah.
Do you have to let it sit for a little bit?
It's good to go. I use that green salt on duck, when I cook duck. And it really gives you a big dimension of flavor. Another one is lime salt. And you just take your microplane and zest a lime, put it in some kosher salt. And essentially, there's a few other little tricks to it, but... and then like on grilled, corn, just sprinkle some of this. I like to put some cayenne in there too, just a pinch. And so you get this limey kind of, it's really, really
spicy,
pleasant flavor corn, fresh corn with a lot of butter on it.
Yeah, a lot of butter. Or if you're like somebody I know, they put mayonnaise on it. Let's have a few more calories. But also, Tim also said, you can get different kinds of peppers as well. There's red peppercorns, green peppercorns, things like that.
Yeah, there's all the white peppercorns.
And they all have a little bit different flavor.
Yeah,
too.
Like the black is kind of a little bit expressive, I guess. You know about black pepper. A white pepper is a little milder. The pink is not very hot at all, but has a nice citrusy sort of flavor to it. And then like the Szechuan peppers, like little berries.
A little bit, and I have some of those, yeah.
And like the Pequin chili pepper is very similar to that. It grew wild in the southwest part of the United States, but it gives some of those same sort of flavors.
Wow. So
it's a little tiny little chili pepper. It's about this
long. Is that what they use in Tabasco sauce?
No, they use Louisiana style chilies, peppers.
Yeah, very distinct.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you can also, like I said, this is National Ice Cream Month, and Ronald Reagan actually declared that back in, I can't find my cheat sheet on this, but I believe it was back in the 80s. And there we go, 1984. And he said 90% of the nation's population consumes ice cream.
90%. I think that's true.
Yeah.
The state that consumes the most ice cream?
Actually, I went online and I think it is actually, I don't have the state here. Was it Washington or something like that?
It's surprising. It's Alaska.
Alaska.
I mean, per person.
Yeah.
Most ice cream per person.
Yeah. So you know what the favorite flavors are? Number one.
I would guess vanilla.
Vanilla, 29%. A distant second, chocolate with 8.9%, almost 9%. 29% vanilla, chocolate. And then, do you know what number three would be?
Rocky Road?
No, that is down there. That is, actually, it's not on this list. Rocky Road is on page two, I think. Yeah, that's number 14. According to makeicecream.com, butter pecan is number three. And it beats out strawberry, which is number four.
If you take some fresh, the strawberries that are in the strawberry crop this year was really late in Oregon. You take macerate some of those that in some liqueur like
framboise.
Yeah, and then make your own fresh strawberry ice cream. There's no way butter pecan is going to beat strawberry.
That's which is speaking of making ice cream. I have already put on the website. Two different ways to make ice cream. Generally, the vanillas that we get are a custard base, which means it has eggs in it. And I do have a recipe on the website that is a custard base, but I've also put one on there that does not include eggs. It's just basically cream-based. How do you make your ice cream?
Well, I make, a gelato. which is what's called when you make your ice cream. One of the main reasons you churn it is to whip air into your custard mix, and that's called overrun. And you want about 20% overrun. That makes a ice cream like Häagen-Dazs. That's one of the factors. You don't want a lot of overrun. You'll notice like the inexpensive commercial grades are you pick the, you know, like a quart container up. It doesn't weigh anything. One of the main reasons is you're buying a lot of cellulose and air.
Yeah.
And, but you get
air is free, people.
You get those ultra premium brands. They don't have, Häagen-Dazs or Ben and Jerry's. You know, they don't have a huge amount of overrun. They have a lot of butter fat.
Yeah.
Should be running about 40% or so, 45%.
So moderation, everything. but you make a custard style?
Or? I make both.
Oh, you make gelato.
Yeah, I make gelato as my main custard. And, but that can, I can transform that into a lot of flavors. But I do this, I use some of that, 60%. Dark chocolate, and just to finish it, I add a bunch of Jack Daniel's whiskey to it.
So oh, it's well, of course.
Straight Jack Daniel's and a bittersweet chocolate gelato. And pretty darn good.
That sounds like I'm coming to your house. but it makes it, you know, try making ice cream. There's nothing beats homemade ice cream.
Oh, yeah. And I make I got it years ago out of the Ben and Jerry ice cream cookbook. I make an ice cream that uses what would normally be uncooked eggs. But if you're making ice cream, you got to realize that raw, uncooked eggs are a potential source of salmonella.
Unless you know that you've plucked those eggs from the nest yourself that morning.
Yeah, even then, it's a little dodgy. You know, you can buy these containers of pasteurized liquid eggs. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how they pasteurize them. Don't want to know.
but you got to trust them.
Huh? Yeah, but then, if I'm serving an uncooked ice cream base to the public, I have to use pasteurized eggs.
Sure. So I encourage everybody to try making their own ice cream. And once you've got that custard mix done, you can put in your flavorings and when you start to churn them, if you want chunks of fruit in there, you wait until it's not quite set firm and you put the chunks of fruit in there.
Yeah, or else, you know, what I do, I just wait till the end. I pour the ice cream out of the churn and then basically use a big one of those industrial-sized rubber spatulas mm-hmm. and just turn it over and fold in my flavorings.
Yeah, so there you go. And, we're just down to about 45 seconds here. Real quick, America consumes an average of 23 quarts of ice cream, ice milk, sherbet, ices, every year. It says northern central states have the highest per capita consumption of ice cream at 41. Top three cities in America, it says, that purchase the most ice cream. And you said Alaska. They're saying Portland. Portland, Oregon, St. Louis, and Seattle. So, we'll see.
And it wouldn't be Anchorage, I mean.
Yeah, that's true. Let's see. The average number of licks to polish off a single scoop of ice cream is approximately 50. So there we go.
There you have it.
Everybody have a happy 4th of July. Be safe. Once again, Jackalope Grill is located. We haven't
done that. We're on 3rd and Division in the south part of the city.
Yeah, and that's
Scandia Plaza.
Scandia Plaza, and you're open?
Tuesday through Saturday, open at 5.
Okay, Tuesday through Saturday. Stop on in and say hi to Tim, and he's always happy to come out and talk to you. As a matter of fact, his whole staff is very friendly and make it for a great dining experience. And, next week, who do I have on? I believe I have on... Ed Barbeau, I believe it is. So we'll have to wait and see. It's going to be a surprise. Everybody have a safe and happy 4th. We'll see you next week.